Let's go ahead and open the meeting with a moment of silence followed by the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. As I mentioned, my name is Don. I am definitely alcoholic. My sobriety date is August 8, 1994. My home group is the Responsibility Group. We meet on Friday nights in Metairie, Louisiana, right outside of New Orleans. I think it's woo, yeah, New Orleans. It's a great group, just like your home groups. If you're ever in the New Orleans area, we would love to have you in our group. Also, I have the privilege of serving as your trustee at large for the United States of America, and it is truly an honor. I believe my counterpart, who's senior to me in the sense that she has two additional years of service experience, is trustee at large. We have two trustees at large. Is Joanne in here? Joanne L. Joanne L., our trustee at large in Canada and my mentor. Hello, Joanne. This, as you have seen from our schedule, is an AA call-up meeting, an AA around the world call-up. I wasn't exactly certain what it means, and I was told what I do is call people I know from other countries and put the phone up. Anybody know anybody from Italy? I love Italy. In all seriousness, what we're going to do is have little of me and much of you. In fact, anybody that knows me will tell you that there's almost nothing special about me but you. So the best thing that we know that we have to offer is the experience, strength, and hope of our fellows, our brothers and sisters, who have experienced strength and hope with Alcoholics Anonymous around the world. I'll begin with this real quick, just as a little preface or prelude. I'm asked from time to time, why does Alcoholics Anonymous in the United States and Canada bother with talking about Alcoholics Anonymous in other places? And I hear it, in fact, in my own home group. And there are three good reasons that I know of that we do. The first is that our founders were adamant. It was part of their core that we would establish beachheads, if you will, for Alcoholics Anonymous around the world. And if you think about our responsibility statement, it talks in terms of when anyone, anywhere, anywhere is not limited to New Orleans, Louisiana, or one particular place. That's the first reason. The second reason is, at least from my standpoint, that very basic notion that I got, that feeling, that understanding that I got in Alcoholics Anonymous, that I'm not alone. I'm not isolated. I always felt isolated. We're not alone as a world. And Alcoholics Anonymous, I think you'll see, can and does transcend. It's cross-cultural. It's cross-geopolitical, it's cross-geographic, it's cross any boundary that exists if we apply our very basic and simple principles. And the third thing, and it's a little more practical, and I believe it's an important part of Alcoholics Anonymous, I've had the blessing of meeting people that as we sit here, there are folks, and many of you know about this, that live in states and conditions of remarkable oppression, remarkable challenges, remarkable hardships. People that literally, that I've met that have had to walk through a war zone to get to a meeting or a service meeting. Women, they get sober in Alcoholics Anonymous, that live in places where to be raped is to get stoned to death. And these women get sober and stay sober in Alcoholics Anonymous. People that live in conditions and poverty and circumstances I cannot begin to imagine, those challenges are not something that sobriety through Alcoholics Anonymous overcomes. We have a program that works in all of those conditions. And what the magic is to be able to take that back to our groups, wherever we may be, and say, you know, there are people that have it harder than me. And they get sober, and they're just like us. They're different, sure. Their religions, their cultures, what have you, they may look different. But they're just like us, and our program works just like it does for us with them. And it's that communication that's key. What I really want to do, though, what we're going to have at the outset is there are several folks that we know that have had a variety of different experiences in Alcoholics Anonymous in different places. And I'm going to call on just, they're not exactly random because I've met these folks, but I'm going to call on some folks to come up and give us 3 to 5 minutes of their experience, strength, and hope about their experiences with Alcoholics Anonymous, where they are and where they've been. And I'm going to begin with Isa from Finland.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Esa, and I'm an alcoholic. My hometown is located some 100 kilometers up north from Helsinki, which is on the southern coastline. And my sobriety day is 7th of November, 1988. I think my path, even if we have different routes to find AA and get into AA, and both internally and physically, it's more or less the same than with most of you. And I'm not going to concentrate on that. Instead, I'm going to share some experience which relates to service, so vital for all of us, because without service of some people, I couldn't have reached the hand of AA, and we need service desperately also today. Especially in those countries where the structures are young, where there are neighboring countries who need the message. And this is the case even in Finland, even if our country got the message as early as 1948. I'm telling you an example. Up north in Finnish Lapland and Swedish Lapland and Norwegian Lapland in Russia, we have a group of people living, some 40,000 people, who are called Sami people. They have been there always, with their reindeers, with their salmons, and so on. And they have a desperate alcoholism problem on that area, and some of them got the message but thought that they need more, they need big book with their native tongue. And I'm happy to tell you that this big book is now in a process. It's been translated, layout has been done for printing. The translator is checking final checkings. And within a short period of time, you will print here in USA a big book for Sami people, which I think will be 58th or 59th language translated. This wouldn't be possible without sacrifices and services. People have reached out up north and helped those people, both from Finland, Norway, and Sweden. Then another thing which I would like to talk about concerning service, it's even if our country has been in AA, our anniversary was the 60th anniversary was 2 years ago, 62 years ago. We have been struggling with unity due to the fact that there are always people who want to go as it always has been, how they invented the things. But we need the program, we need the traditions, we need all what AA can offer us. And we have a minority in Finland which has established its own conference structure 13 years ago. And still the minority is only 20% of all AA groups, probably less, 15-20%. But we are still searching unity after 62 years in Finland. In all new countries, it's vital that you establish as early, as soon as possible, a proper conference structure to get things right at the very beginning. I'm also happy to tell you that this Sami people attended our Nordic convention 2 weeks ago in Finland, together with people from Norway, Denmark, Sweden, Finland, and now Sami people included with their own flag. And that's a great thing. If we establish our services proper way, we have the possibility to write down our service experiences as well. And it helps us all along on the way to sponsor newcomers into service, to get them to understand why we work, why we behave as we behave, and why it's so important. I encourage all of you to take part on sponsoring to service. That's what we have done to do with some success lately. So, finally, what's the most important thing? Pass it on. Thank you.
Next, Beta from Hungary.
Hi, my name is Beata and I'm an alcoholic. First of all, I'd like to tell you thank you. Thank you for my life. And I'd like to tell you the story of the Hungarian AA, what is started in 88, with a man who was going to a doctor, and the doctor gave to him the big book from the United States, and that doctor told to him the story of Bill and Bob. So he started the AA meetings with the help of a German friend. His name is Helmut. And then we had a lot of help from the United States. So it started with three people, and now we have 119 groups in Hungary. In a Hungarian convention, we are, I think, 600-700 persons with the Al-Anon, and I like to tell you the hello of all of my friends from Hungary. Hello, hello, hello. I bring them yours. So Hungarian AA is young, so there is a lot of wrong thing. My sponsor told me this is the Hungarian AA is the AA Wild West. because she's from San Diego, my sponsor. I found somebody who can help me. Unfortunately, in Hungary, we miss the recovering. Because 20 years before, there was an Iron Curtain in Hungary. So we were out from the spirituality. Not my generation, but my father's and my mother, they was living in only to work and no spirituality, no God. So it is really hard. But now I feel it's changing. And I think AA is a big help in this. And there is a few problems too, but I felt I want to recovering. I was going to an English meeting. I found a sponsor. Maybe it was my help. In a Hungarian meeting, they told me, don't do only one step 1 year. And then the fourth step is really dangerous. You will die if you do it. Wow. Maybe that was my fortune, because if they tell me do it, I'm not doing it, because I'm an alcoholic. So I wanted to do it. And I found a sponsor, and I'm recovering, and the world is opening. So I have a big love. God loves me very much. My service in the Hungarian AA, I'm the hospital contact. And I see a lot of bad things, because the doctors not accepted the AA, unfortunately. But I find some. And when can I go? We are going. And the problem is, first of all, in Budapest, in the capital where I'm living, because the doctors tell alcoholics can cure. It's a curable sickness. And I'm telling, I think not. And it is good for me if I think it, I know it. So a lot of help is of my friends who from the United States and Hungarian Americans too. I don't know how can I say thank you, because I was sleeping, and now I feel I'm waking up. When I had 49 days of my sobriety, there was a convention, and I met with two persons from the GSO. Thanks for the GSO. They sent them, Dorothy and Julio. And I saw them, and I thought they are not human. I don't know what they have, but I want it. And they told me, come to San Antonio. I thought, okay. I want this thing. It was the sobriety, I think, what I saw. And I was working hard to be here. now, but if I must work 10 years to be here, I do it again. Because you give me a lot of love. I really feel here the sobriety. And I think it is a big help for the Hungarian AA, because I will bring this message, what you give to me. I don't know, maybe you not know, you don't know how many times you are helping us, just with a letter or just with a smile or a hug. I'm here to learn the pure AA and learning the sobriety, because I don't want to die. But I'm here for this lot of hugs. I think this is another addiction what I have. Something has happened with me when I started this program. I stopped smoking. I something has started, something new. I love the life. I'm living, and I love to living. When I was drinking, I couldn't live. I couldn't die. And I was just my body was living. And now I feel something is opening, and something is living inside too. So I'm really happy to find a lot of new friends, and we are really a big, big family. And I'm so happy to be an alcoholic now. My mother is died in this sickness. There wasn't AA in Hungary, but I can thank her for her sufferings, because she saw me. This is a mortal sickness. Maybe she was helping me. And I want to tell you a thank you and give you a big hug. Hi.
I love this stuff. Next, we're going to have Molly, who has some experience with AA in Haiti.
My name is Molly. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is October 13th, 2001. I got sober in originally in Spokane, Washington, and I've been sober in California after that for a few years. And then I told my sponsor that I wanted to go out and see the world and share my experience, strength, and hope, and hopefully provide some service in the world. And I was off from there. I got sent overseas when I was 6 years sober, and I've lived in a few different countries, and now I'm living in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. And I was in the flag ceremony last night. Beata was also in the flag ceremony. It was very moving for us to be carrying a flag and representing a country. None of my Haitian fellows are here with me today because of financial difficulties and visa difficulties, but I want to be here for them. I'm here for them, representing them here today. thank you. I've had a lot of wonderful support from people at General Service Office, and I want to tell you that when you put money in the basket in your home group, if your group sends money to GSO New York, some of that goes to supporting AA overseas, and I want to thank you for that and to encourage you to continue to support your GSO. So thank you. Don, who introduced me, knows that there's a long history of trying to get AA contacts in Haiti. I've been living in Haiti since August of last year, and I could not find any meetings there. I joined AA online. I joined AA International email list. My screen name is Molly in Haiti, if you're ever on there. I went to a conference in St. Thomas last fall. That was a Caribbean conference, area conference, and some of you are here today. And I shared at the meeting there, and I said, "My name is Molly, and I'm an alcoholic. I live in Haiti. There's no meetings, and I'm crazy." And they said, "Well, why don't you start meetings in Haiti?" And I had a lot of support from my wonderful friends Ken and Annie, who are in South Florida. And I went about figuring out how to start AA in Haiti. And I went around and I asked people. I went to priests. I went to hospitals. I said, "What do you do with your alcoholics in this country? What do you do when someone has an alcohol problem?" And no one knew what to tell me. You know, you see people on the streets. There's a huge problem of alcoholism in Haiti. It's a poor country. There are a lot of social problems, and there's a lot of drinking and a lot of misery. So I couldn't find an answer. I finally found a doctor who knew what they do with alcoholics in Haiti, and he said there's this place called APAC, which is, he said, I think it's some sort of a treatment center, and they know something about substance abuse or alcohol abuse. And I was like, yes, that's it. That's what I'm talking about. So I drove down to this address that he gave me, and I pulled into the parking lot, and I looked to the side of the building, and I saw this little door, and I saw the little AA symbol on the door. And I just could not believe it. I went into the room, and it was empty. It was about 4:30 in the afternoon. I fell on my knees. I started crying. There were all these sayings up on the wall, the first things first, and the but for the grace of God in French, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions. And this man found me in there, the guy who was like the security guard, found me in there crying. And he said, ma'am, can I help you? And I said, oh my gosh, I've been looking for this place. I can't believe you're here. And he said, well, the meeting doesn't start for 30 minutes. And I said, there's a meeting? That's so great. So lo and behold, there are meetings in Haiti, in Port-au-Prince, 5 o'clock every day in Creole. The preamble and the how it works are read in French, and then the sharing is in Creole. I started going to these meetings. This was January 2nd when I found them. And I went every day. And I can't speak that well in Creole yet, but I say the same thing. I was like, I'm an alcoholic. I'm happy to be here. I'm grateful. I can say all those things well. And 10 days later, the earthquake happened. I wasn't in a meeting that day, but the earthquake, if you know, it happened at 4:53. And everybody was there in the meeting room. I wasn't there, but my fellows were there, and they held hands and they prayed after the earthquake happened, and then they all dispersed to go try to find their friends and family. And it was like hell. It was like hell walking out in the streets that day. One of my friends who I'd met started drinking because it just looked like Armageddon, and he just wandered the streets and drank all day, and I haven't been able to find him. Anyway, this could turn into a very long story, but I'm going to just say that AA in Haiti is there, and they have been located now by the General Service Office. I'm working with Valerie, who works in our literature department, to try to get literature in Creole. It's like the general population doesn't read French, so it's there's a separation between what people can read and what they can share. So she showed me a draft yesterday of is AA for me in Creole, and it was just such a joy to see that, just knowing that we can continue to carry the message. I started a meeting in English. The membership there is unsteady because we don't have a regular group of English-speaking people that are there. But if you know of anybody going to Haiti, or if your church is doing a mission to Haiti or whatever, there's AA there, and I want them to come and find me. I've been so blessed to be sober and to stay sober and to see the amazing people in my group, people that lost their homes, people that lost their family members. One of our members lost all of his fingers on his hand. He was sitting at the computer and the wall fell, and everybody lost something in that meeting. So it makes the problems that I used to think about complaining in meetings really puts them into perspective. I have a sponsee now. She's 40-some days sober. She lives in a camp. She lives in one of the many camps that are in Port-au-Prince. She lost her home. She has a two-year-old baby. Some gangs recently burned down her tent and are threatening her. And she's still coming to meetings, and we're reading the big book together in French and working the steps. So I just want to say that AA is alive and well everywhere in the world, and that there is always a possibility for recovery and for hope, no matter what devastation is around. And that if you are wanting to go anywhere in the world, you can find AA there. And if there's not AA there, you can start AA there. So I believe that my sponsor said, now that you're sober, there's nothing that you can't do. And you can go anywhere and do anything that you ever wanted to do, because your higher power is with you and you have this program of Alcoholics Anonymous. So I would like to just tell you that things in Haiti are getting better. That's a question I get a lot. Things are getting better, but we need a lot of prayers, and we need a lot of support. And I'm getting excellent support from our General Service Office. So please continue to support them, and you will be supporting AAs around the world who need you. So thank you.
Next is going to be Valerie O, who is our publisher with AA World Services, who will share some on how AA World Services and GSO fit in.
Good afternoon, San Antonio. My name's Valerie O'Neill. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a proud member of Alcoholics Anonymous and a privileged AA member who happens to work at your General Service Office in New York City. My sobriety date is June 25th, 1982, and I am truly an alcoholic. I would like to think about the history that we're living this year, or this time, this weekend, 75 years of Alcoholics Anonymous, the gift from the first 100, starting with Bill and Dr. Bob. AA didn't start when Bill got sober. It started when he passed the message successfully to another alcoholic, and that's what we're celebrating here this weekend. There's something that you probably don't know that seems to be a secret in the history of AA, and so I'm happy that many of you might learn something about AA's history today. And what that is that there came a time when Bill had written the five basic books of AA, and he started to get royalties from them. Now, Bill and Lois were probably the first homeless people in New York City, but he came from that financial, you know, devastation in sobriety to, you know, maybe a comfortable life in Bedford Hills, New York. And now the books are in English and then French and Spanish, but they start to be published in other countries, and there's laws and there's royalties. And what's going to happen to all that money? And anonymously, Bill said that he gave up all the royalties outside of the United States and Canada to the countries that are printing the literature. And there was one stipulation to that gift from Bill to these countries, that they would take that money and they would serve Alcoholics Anonymous with it. And that's what's going on today, continuously. Bill's gift is the program in the 12 and 12 in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and as Bill sees it, but it's also a daily gift in countries outside the United States and Canada who print the literature, who carries the message that you're going to hear about today. My anniversary date at the General Service Office is September 3rd, 1990. So I have watched your General Service Office at work for a couple of decades. And I think one of the most important things is that Molly mentioned it, that if your home group like mine has a business meeting and you split up the money in the service structure and you send a little bit, we don't ask for a lot, but you send a little bit to the General Service Office, you are directly creating this pamphlet that will be carried to Haiti in 2 days. And, you know, it's not really so simple as you think. You know, print it and it will happen. It has to be translated. The translation has to be checked. It has to be formatted. It has to be distributed by AA members in a country where there's little AA. So think about Molly taking this back. She has to go to the Creole group and say, will you please accept this from the AA members in the United States and Canada who want to give this to you. And they, first of all, they don't know that they have the right to ask for translations in Creole, Haitian Creole. So now if they see it, they might know that they have the right to ask, that they are part of our family, that they won't know until Molly carries this there, you know, through a series of higher power coincidences that are getting, you know, the first opportunity for us to support the sobriety of the AA members meeting for decades, really, in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. I want to tell you about my pride as I was born in Toronto, Canada, but I am an American citizen, and so my pride in both our countries. I was visiting AA meetings in Paris, and the fellowship was unified, and they didn't have to worry about disunity. And the carrying of the message was so strong. And I asked them, how did your meetings get so strong? And what they said was, Americans visit us all the time. It's so beautiful here. And what they taught us how to do step meetings. And from the step meetings that Americans brought to us, we have a strong AA foundation here, and we're thriving and we're able to carry the message. You heard last night that I think they said that there are that the big book has been translated into 57, 58 languages. You are working so hard at carrying the message and giving us the responsibility of carrying it on your behalf, that I don't know how many anymore, because coming off the press, as Esau mentioned, is the Sami Big Book for the Lapish AA members. Amharic Big Book is coming off the press for AA members in Ethiopia. And the Xhosa Big Book is coming off the press for as dialects, people who speak the Xhosa dialect in South Africa. And so I'm hoping in a month that when you ask me, I will say 60. And if you ask me in a year, it will be 65. And when we all meet in Atlanta, maybe 100. I'm not really sure what else to share with you. You know, the General Service Office is, the way that I describe it is that we cannot be paid to do 12-step work, and we don't do it. It's like the 11-step prayer and the channel they talk about. What happens at the General Service Office is we hear about the need for AA in a specific place, and it doesn't have to be international. It can be the house around the corner, you know, the church around the corner, the school around the corner, the gang around the corner. But we hear about that need. And we can't be paid to do 12-step work, so what do? We pass it back on out to the front lines. You know, maybe we have the facility and we use your money to print the literature, but we don't distribute it. It is distributed by AA members for AA members, which what I can do privately after 5, but I don't do that from 9 to 5 when I'm at the office. And so as I watched the flags last night, and I knew that the flag bearers were not chosen because we know them. They were chosen from a computer printout. And, you know, if you believe with me that the higher power guided the hand that did that random selection for those flags to be carried by AA members, you know, who were living AA in the countries that, whose flags you saw. And so I can say from my point of view, as somebody who has the privilege of watching you carry the message of Alcoholics Anonymous and sacrifice your time, your families, sometimes your money, but mostly you represent Alcoholics Anonymous in your sobriety and your commitment to AA and your daily reflection of Bill and Bob's sacrifices and gifts to us that we carry on. For that, I thank you.
Now the call-up point. I'm going to call up our second panel, but I would like to give our first panel a thank you very much. For our second panel, I would like to call Michaela from Slovakia, Roland from Germany, and Ron P. from Peru. And as these friends are coming up to get ready to share, I'll quickly just say a few things that occur just from my experience. Number one, our General Service Office, our service structure, we are neither the United Nations or the Vatican. We don't proselytize or start AA meetings. Our service structure, our GSO, doesn't just start a meeting in Haiti. We know this as AA members so instinctively. Our message is carried one member to another. We, all of us, carry our message into distant lands. We carry the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. Our service structure, our world services, our GSO, our service structure entities, we're facilitators. We're hopefully channels that help make that good work possible. I'd like to begin with Michaela.
I'm Isha, and I'm alcoholic, and my home group is in named Svetlo, and it's in Bratislava, Slovakia. Thank you. I was just sharing about Slovakia in a last meeting, so probably I told a lot. The first thing I would like to say, I sobered up in Slovakia when there was no AA, and it was September 25th, 1984, and it really wasn't easy. I didn't know anything about AA, but I just wanted to stay sober, and I didn't want to drink again, and with the help of doctors and so-called sober club, I was sober for 8 years, I think, until I found AA. And in this 8 years' time, I really rebuilt my ego terribly. So I became a strong woman, believing in myself and, you know, believing in my success and everything. But I was deeply unhappy. And then by kind of miracle, which I probably don't have time to describe here, but it was a real miracle, I met somebody from AA. It was a man who was living in Mexico. And I have seen the light in his eyes, and I just wanted to have it. And he told me he's got it from AA. And so I was trying to find it in my country, and I found one group in Slovakia, and later one group in Czech Republic. Slovakia is part of former Czechoslovakia, and we speak, you know, I can speak both languages, but we also understand the languages very easy. So my first day meetings were in Bratislava, Slovakia, in the group where sometimes one man came, sometimes nobody, sometimes three people. The group in Prague was better. There was many Americans coming. And so this was like my first experience, and I had feeling that this group in Slovakia is like they are not very active, and I was like, I'm not going to criticize them. I will try to do it on my own, and, you know, with all my energy I had. So I started a group, and we talked about literature today and the gifts from here and how it's all connected. And I really feel it deeply now, because when I came to my first day meeting in Slovakia, where there's one man, there was already a book translated into Czech language. It was translated by American with Czech origin living in Santa Barbara, California, and it was published by GSO. And the book was brought to Slovakia by our A friend from here, whose parents were from Slovakia, and he was traveling to Slovakia each year, and he was bringing books there. So, what a miracle. He brought like 300 books in 4 years. So we had a chance to start. I really loved what I had seen in AA, and I really wanted it, and I wanted to bring it to my country. And I really wasn't good from the beginning. I was kind of, you know, tough person. I wanted to do everything very fast. So I was working at the same time at STEPS. I needed to use traditions, and I was also involved in service. I was really... By the grace of God, I could travel to New York, and from the beginning I met very nice people in GSO, and one of the first day people I met was also trustee at large, it was Larry Nelson. And so with all this help, I was able to do something for you in Slovakia, and I'm really grateful. It's hard to say how. It's changed my life totally. I found my higher power in AA, And not only that I found higher power, but I have learned how to live with my higher power and how to trust my God. And, you know, when I stopped drinking, I was a desperate alcoholic. I tried to commit suicide 7 times. And now I am a happy grandmother. I have 4 grandkids. And I really enjoy my life. And I enjoy my family life. And it's just such a big difference. And it's such a blessing. And I really realize in situations like this is that I'm in San Antonio, that it's just a gift. And I'm so blessed and so privileged that I could meet AA. That, you know, all the people before me was here carrying the message the way that I could find it. And maybe I could carry something back. So I'm really grateful to all of you, and I'm so happy to be here. And if I am alive and sober, I will be in Atlanta. Thank you very much. Oh, there is one thing, maybe. We have also a big book printed in Slovakia. It was, we printed it in Slovakia with help of GSO. And I wanted to tell you that it's not everything so easy. This was printed in 2000. And then in 2006 or 5, we printed a book without copyright. This is how it works, you know. It's not easy. The structure is struggling, and we have leaders who do the things on their own, and so there is one more. Like, I would like to ask if you think about us, pray for us. Thank you.
Next, Roland from Germany.
My name is Roland. I'm an alcoholic. Hi, friends. I live in the southern part of Germany. My home group is on Friday, 6 p.m. in Esslingen. In this group, I got dry. My sobriety date is the 2nd of January, 1992. We in Germany have the AA since 1953, and now we have until 3,000 groups. My first experience with AA was a telephone call where I was touched down. I called a number. I had this number a longer time with me. And I spoke with a wife, and she spoke over AA with me. And suddenly, she asked me, would you stop drinking? And I said, yes. And this was my first lie in AA. I want to have only a solution for my drinking problem, because I wasn't an alcoholic. Some months ago, I called this number again, and this woman told me, come today in the meeting. You are the important person. I can't believe it. But I think it was true. The second experience where I made with AA was the thing with the service. Once a time, in another meeting, an old-timer asked me whether I would like to do a little service to look after soft drinks and so on. And I said, no, I can't do this. I left the meeting, and I never came back in this meeting because I was so full from fear, a lot of fear. I can't take any responsibility. It was the next experience was also the experience with service, because I asked about our service. There was necessary to have a group speaker, and I asked this lady, do you think there's a job for me? And she said, yes, do this job. And I'm an alcoholic. When somebody asked me to do something, I said no. And I made here the experience, it's a better way to do things, what I do can. And this is very good. Sometimes I get the hope that the... I start again. I was asked to carry the flag, and I said yes. And this was the biggest experience of my life yesterday. It was... It was so amazing, unbelievable, such a lot of people. We are never alone. We have us, we have our higher power, we have the program, and that's really good. And to do service is today really good for me. And I will never say no. If somebody asks me to do something, I will say yes, because it's very important for me to be sober, to keep sober, to do service, and to share the experience where we do here in AA. Now, I would say thank you for your patience, and I wish you a good time. Thank you very much.
Next is Ronald P. from Peru.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Ron. I'm an alcoholic. Just to explain why I don't have the outrageous accent is I was originally born in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and I sobered up in Toronto, at Rexdale United in Toronto, in January 16th, 1988. Just to explain a little bit how I got to... First of all, I'd like to thank San Antonio for hosting such an awesome conference. And... really quick, I sobered up in Toronto, 2 years sober. I went back to Edmonton, and very similar to the lady from Haiti, at 5 years sober, in Peru we had 70,000 people die of terrorism, and I went down there in 1993 to help at an orphanage, and arriving at there, really, I think it was, I'm not sure if it's payback or kind of, you know, don't judge a person until you've walked in their shoes. When I first sobered up, I really criticized the old-timers. Often I have to confess, I actually just, you know, really... It really bothered me the whole time. And please forgive me. Because arriving in Peru, I live in a place in Moquegua, Peru, which is up in the Andy Mountains. I arrived in Peru, I didn't speak a stitch of Spanish, and I know what it's like to go day after day, after week, after month, and sit at a table by yourself. So there's a person from Canada would say, well, go start your meeting, right? Well, I did that. The people that sent me down there, actually, I asked for the money from a return flight, if they'd give it to me, and I bought $1,500 or $1,300 worth of literature. The reason why we did that in Peru to maintain our general service office, the big book was being sold for 60 soles, which is approximately $28 to $30 a book, and just to keep our doors open. So I bought these books and I went and I gave them at the hospital. Miraculously, like when I first got there, I went to the hospital, was given out these books for patients that are in there, definitely needing the message, and suddenly all these books disappeared, and suddenly all the medical doctors in Moquegua were suddenly specialists, and all along Main Street they had the big book that was given to them, and they were suddenly treating the alcoholics. So whichever way that message gets out, all the better. After that, I'd really like to also express a sincere thanks to the service structures of Toronto. I served for a while in Toronto as a GSR and in Area 78. And especially a sincere thanks to anyone that participates in IKIPA. I have the utmost respect for IKIPA. It was an important part of my sobriety. When I went down to Peru, the service structure was extremely, very similar to Germany, but not the same results whatsoever. According to that book that we gave from the Toronto conference, it stated that Alcoholics Anonymous has been existing since 1954. And we have presently, right before I came, I asked the General Service Office how many, we have approximately 200 groups, and approximately, they told me, about 2,300 members. We are a struggling service structure. One of the biggest experiences that I've had, one of the reasons why our structures suffer is because of the lack of recovery. Whether a lot of people get in, they get and immediately get active. And that's important to stay sober. I think we're going through a lot of growing pains. But that has to be based on appropriate recovery of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I hope I'm not going over the 5 minutes. Let me know, Don, please. From Moquegua, well, where I live, we basically started, I was there for about 7 years. During those years, I was asked to serve as a Class B trustee in the service structures in Peru. It's almost the size of a regular DCM meeting here in the United States. But we had our little structure. We're trying to get things organized. And we've had a lot of struggles. We received also our general service, I have to be honest. I mean, that's what they said when I came in. So when we first came in, the United States gave us a whole bunch of literature. And because it's so important for Alcoholics Anonymous, at least for in Peru, a lot of that money that we had, we were using it to keep the office open. And suddenly when it came around, because of our administration in Peru, a lot of that money was kept to keep the doors open, and someone forgot to buy new literature. So I'd like to sincerely thank also our service sponsors, which are the service structure of Mexico. We have, in Peru, we have sponsorship within service structures. Our service sponsors, if, correct me if I'm wrong, Don, but is Colombia and Mexico. And a sincere thanks to all my brothers and sisters from Colombia and Mexico. Thank you, and from the United States and Canada, thank you for your support. After about being 7 years sober in Moquegua, a lot of people, especially carrying the flags, there's a lot of people that were people from North America structures that were, due to their calling or God's will in their lives, have been called elsewhere. And doing that, a lot of people carried the message to other places. And that effort that we're doing in Moquegua, we basically slowly developed a little group. It was called Lucy Esperanza. And Lucy Esperanza basically was going well. There was a few, you know, some promising recovery. And I started to do a lot of work overseas, my home base being Peru, but traveling all over. And, the majority of our group died. There's presently 2 members living. When I first met Don at the Redella and at Akipa, I got choked up, so I don't know why I asked him to do this, but they say that you should always say yes and A, so here I am. Our little group died. There's only 2 members that are still living, apart from myself. Well, I guess that's 3. We really struggled. You know, we struggled with a lot of controversies, like a regular AA service structure. And I think the biggest problem that we had was lack of recovery. We're overcoming that. We had recently, back in October, that's where I first met Don and Joanne. Thank you for coming, and all each and every world delegate that came for the Redella. at the Ridella, we had a parallel conference parallel to that, and we had over 1,000 members from all over that came to Peru. So every Latin American country that came and helped us with that, we'd like to thank you very much for your presence and for your support. Finally, I'd like to give thanks, a special thanks. Really, in the international meeting list in Moquegua, it shows that the meeting in Moquegua was Serenidad, because that's because after the group died, a new group basically started up, and it's Serenidad right now, which is not, well, there's basically two members that are sober. And a lot of my support was received from online AA. For a long time, I considered AA online as my support. Just like at the, very similar to the Class A trustees, there's people that, like, people that serve in A, we do that to save our own backside. But there's people that serve us and love us, and they do that strictly and only out of love for us. And for that, anyone that's serving as a Class A trustee or has, thank you very much as well. The two of the Class B trustees that I served with ended up going back out again. And I saw that very similar in my sobriety. I came very close when I was coming close to 20 years sober. And I learned something extremely important that I'd like to share with you. Is I was a big book fanatic. I still do believe in the big book. That's my recipe. Though what I found was I was lying to you with truth. I'm not a very well-educated man, so what I learned was there's a big difference between truth and honesty. There's a lot of people here that are hurting. There's a lot of people here, even sober. The still suffering alcoholic does not differentiate the person that's recently coming into AA. And I would go off and talk about a lot of facts, and I'd forget about sitting down with someone and saying, listen, I'm hurting, or I need a hand. That's so important, and I pray and wish that we never forget that. That, you know, we need to be there for whoever's suffering. And really quick, I'd like to say two more things. I'm going to sit down because with the nervousness of being here and drink as much water as I have, there's a very urgent issue that I have to attend to. I'd like to share two things. God is in this conference. I have absolutely no doubt in that. Two, as long as I'm willing, He will use me. And use us. And I think it's so vital that we're open to that spirit. At the last international conference, I was also asked to carry the Peru flag. I carried it again this year. And when I was there in the lineup, it's A, B, C, D, it's right by me was Poland. And because I'm so in tune with the will of God, that the people from Poland, this gentleman, we were in the practice, we're all pumped up and, I don't know, with Red Bulls or whatever, but I'm talking to this guy and we became really good friends, and the guy from Poland, during the ceremony, comes up and gives me a big book. I said, thank you very much, a very cordial. Very gracious, thank you very much. But my intention, to be honest, I was going to throw it out. Because here I am, a Canadian, living in Peru. What am I going to need with a Polish big book? Except for maybe show it around my home group to say people, look how important I am. But really my intention was because I was afraid of doing that, I was going to throw it out. But I'm all pumped up, we carry the flag, we go back, throw everything in the room. Finish the conference, jump on the plane, go back to Lima. I'm all pumped up because of the conference. I go to Grupo Recuperacion in Miraflores. I go to the meeting. One of the members that knows me runs up and goes, Ron, good thing you're here. There's a guy, he speaks absolutely no Spanish, speaks a little bit of English, and he's from Poland. I said, you don't say. If there's anyone from Poland, please pass on the message that that big book that you that your flag bearer presented to me that night was used to help a newcomer at his very first meeting. So as long as you're willing to serve, you can't make a mistake. I mean, that's the message for me. I mean, just get out of the way and his will be done. In closing, I'd just like to share some. I hope it translates appropriately. In closing, and it says, the saying in Spanish is, yesterday is but a memory. Tomorrow is but a dream. But today is a gift from God. That's why it's called the present. Thank you.
Wonderful. We have one more group, and I'd like to see if these folks are here. Shauna from Great Britain. Shauna, you here? Okay. Carlos, who's going to give us some information about Bolivia, and Steve, who has some familiarity with the far eastern part of Russia. And as we're moving on, is there anybody, if Shauna is not here, is there anybody here from any of the British Isles? Anybody want to share about their experience in Britain? Come on up. Hey. Is that Shauna? No? And is there, and I was wondering if my friend Masayo is here from Japan. Is there anybody here from Japan? I know there was a Japanese meeting going on. Come on up. One thing I would like to say as we're getting ready for the rest of our panelists to come up, I would love to share that our service structure, the U.S. and Canada service structure, we may be the first, and certainly in terms of longevity, we have 75 years of experience. Hey, John. But don't think for a second we have the most experience, the only experience. There are incredibly wise Alcoholics Anonymous members, groups, service structures worldwide. As we heard earlier, there are countries that actually sponsor other countries' service structures. And there is remarkable AA going around the world, and we're not the only ones, and we may not be the most knowledgeable or the best on every issue. So with that, I would like to introduce Carlos, who will give us some information about Bolivia.
My name is Carlos, and I'm an alcoholic. I was born in a small mining town in the high plains of Bolivia, in Oruro. And I'm here today by the grace of God that was expressed through the hand of my loving sponsor who pulled me out of a deep, dark, and lonely pit of pain, suffering, and despair that was my alcoholism. My home group is the end of the line of San Jose, California. It's on Tuesday nights, a men's group. And when my sponsor said, my sobriety date is February 11, 2002. And thank you. When I told my sponsor that I was going to go to Bolivia, he said, and what service are you going to do? He said, you will take books. He didn't give me options at the service. It wasn't suggestions or requests. At least it didn't sound like that to me. So I collected some books. We collected some. Some were donated. Some people bought a book, scribbled on it, and gave it to me. And you know, when I was changing planes in Miami, running from gate A-15 to D-56, carrying that heavy bag of books, I really felt that I was carrying the message. I got to Bolivia, and like my brother from Peru was saying, books are awfully expensive down there. You know, when you make $20, $30, $50 a month for a family of five or three or whatever, you know, a book becomes a large part of that income. And when I got to Bolivia, and I was in La Paz, I went to the main Grupo Esperanza de Nacer, I forgot. And they had this beautiful glass encased bookshelf. And they had a book of Alcoholics Anonymous there. So you guys have some books. You go, yeah, but here's some more books. And they go, oh, this is wonderful. Thank you. What do you want us to do with them? I said, give them away. They looked at me like, okay. And they started opening up the shelf, which was behind lock and key, and putting the books away. I said, no, you just give them away. Don't charge anything for them. And, you know, we don't know the impact that we have and the effect of our actions. And I got to go back to Bolivia 2 years later, This time I carried two bags of books. And I noticed something very interesting. Whereas the first time most of the members were my age or older, this time there was a lot of young people, a lot of young interested people. Now, Bolivia is a small country. I'm 46 years old, and over eight out of 10 Bolivians are younger than me. The average age of 80% of the population is under 30, and we love to drink. We drink to celebrate. We drink to when there's sadness. We drink for any reason. We drink because it's Monday or because it's raining or because it's not. Bolivians, we drink. And so alcoholism is very prevalent over there. And when I went back this last time, the Redella was happening in Peru, so I did something better than take just books. I asked my friend Raimundo L., who is a living big book, to come with me, and we got to meet Don here. And Raimundo is from Mexico, and he runs up to Don. He's, "Hey, Don." He comes back with the U.S. banner, totally thrilled. He's, "I'm like, oh, look what Don gave me." And, you know, Mexico, Bolivia, Peru, and all these people. And that's the beauty of Alcoholics Anonymous. Here, all those things that separate us just disappear. They vanish. The language vanishes. The color of our skin, the economic status, the educational level, none of that matters. We're all the same. We're all one. And we all share this. We not only share the problem, but we share the solution. And that's the beauty of Alcoholics Anonymous. And isn't that an awesome thing that we have? And in watching those flags come in last night and the cheering for, you know, Iran and all, and I'm like, I love this. You know, what a vision. What a vision, not just for us, but for the world. And I was totally thrilled. And these guys in Bolivia, these young people, started reading the book and they started calling me. And they go, they're asking about the concepts of service, of world service. I'm like, I don't know. They start asking questions of their structure. You know, where is the money? How come you guys aren't rotating service? The 12 traditions say, and they, you know, an uproar occurred. There was a revolution of recovery. And it's right now in its midst, and things are getting sorted out. But, you know, that's the beauty of Alcoholics Anonymous, too. We're under the care and protection of our higher power as we choose Him. And, you know, I'm a dreamer, but last night I knew I wasn't the only one. And what a beautiful thing we have in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm really grateful to have shared today. Thank you, Don. Thank you, everybody.
Next is John from Ireland.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is John, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm glad Don said I was from Ireland because I was afraid you might think I was from Texas. I came into AA in the last Sunday night of August, 1983. Some people said that's the 27th, I'm not sure, but it was always be a Sunday night for me. Because that was the night that I discovered what my problem was. They told me if I kept coming and I'd never drink again. And up to date, that's been true. It's kind of amazing that I choose this meeting to come to, because of the people I've heard speak here and the people who may have been here but are not. It was an absolute pleasure to hear Valerie speak. I've had the pleasure of working with Valerie for 4 years, 2002 to 2006. And she was the one in the background doing all the real work while we were out front getting the glory. So thank you, Valerie, for your presentation today. AA came to Ireland in 1946, first country in Europe to adopt AA. There was a little difficulty in the beginning because the Catholic Church had a lot of influence. And initially, people said, well, we don't have a problem down here. There's a problem up there, being the northern part of the country. But Conor F. From Roscommon came to the U.S., Philadelphia, got sober here, went back on holidays to Ireland in 1946 and promised himself that he would try and start the group before he came back to the U.S. in January of 1947. Around about the same time as he was trying to start the group, there was a priest called Father Dunlea in Boystown in Sydney in Australia who had seen the work that Alcoholics Anonymous was doing there and the success it was having. And he wrote an article in an Irish publication called The Furrow, It was a Catholic publication. And that was seen as a kind of a breakthrough because it seemed to have the approval of the church because he wrote it. The first meeting was held in November, in Ireland, was held in November 1946 in the ICA Country Kitchen in Dublin. And gradually moved throughout, first of all, Belfast. I think next was Bundoran. I'm not sure it was at Limerick and Cork after that, but it doesn't really matter. It grew, and there was a need there, believe me, it's still there. At the moment, we have a full-service structure. We have groups, GSRs, areas, intergroups, and conference, and we have a board and service office, which is run by four trustees and a number of paid employees. We're very fortunate in Ireland that the structure is fully self-supporting from tabletop contributions. I think one of the few fellowships worldwide that have managed to achieve that position. Back around 2000-2001, when that situation had started to come about, we looked at what we could do with the surplus funds. At first, we thought we could maybe sponsor countries, but we're a little island kind of stuck out there in the Atlantic, and money may have been dissipated just on travel alone. So we thought long and hard about it, and the decision was finally arrived at a conference and approved by the fellowship that we would make some contribution to the European Service Meeting Fund and the remainder of the contribution to the International Literature Fund. It's been an absolute pleasure for me as an Irish alcoholic to hear the presentations here today and to hear the impact that the publishing of literature has on the fellowship in emerging countries. It's particularly gratifying for me as an Irish alcoholic to have made, I think in 1 year, maybe $100,000 or more contribution. I think it was something like $9 per head of AA members in Ireland went to international literature. When I was first in service, in World Service in 2002, I think there was 53 publications in various different languages. I agree with Valerie, it would be nice to see the 60 quite soon. I think that will happen. I think the greatest problem we face is not in the service that we're doing at international level. I think the greatest problem we're facing is the service we're doing at home in our own groups. We need to maintain greater effort in encouraging people into service. Service has been my salvation because there's been some periods in my sobriety where I've faced difficult times. Particularly in the early 90s, when in a 3-year period, I lost my father and my son to alcoholism. I was fortunate to be involved in the structure at the time, and because I was involved in service, you know, I was surrounded by people who loved AA and as a result took care of me and helped me through those difficult periods. Really and truly, I suppose, I was so far into the middle of AA that I didn't have time to fall off the edge. And for that, I'm grateful. It's an absolute pleasure to be here in San Antonio. And I'd like to congratulate the organizing committee in GSO in New York that helped to put together this and the people in San Antonio, particularly the hospitality people who put the hand out as welcomers here. Thank you very much.
And next, Steve, who will share some insight on Eastern Russia, Far Eastern Russia.
Hello, everybody. My name is Steve, and I am an alcoholic. My home group is the HAL group in Anchorage, Alaska. We meet on Monday evenings. My sobriety date is July of 1991. But even today, when I'm asked to share, I get butterflies, and when I chair a meeting, I still get knots in my stomach. So you can imagine how I feel right now, particularly when I wasn't scheduled to be up here until about an hour and a half ago. I first met Don in 2004, I think, when we were going on a trip to the Russia Far East. We flew into Anadyr, which is the capital of, I think they call it the Autonomous Region of Chukotka. And there were about five or six of us alcoholics and one normie in the group. And we were carrying the message. Our intent was to carry the message to the still suffering alcoholic in Chicoka, in the city of Vanadier. Had no idea what we were going to do or say. We met with these people, Russians as well as the native Chukchi. I remember we met with one group in a village just outside of Vanadier, and they were very courteous. They took us into their meeting room, and you know, they served us tea and cookies, and they sat in a line on one side of the room, and Don and our friend Tandy, who put together the trip, we sat on the other side of the room, and they were sort of, they were kind of being polite. They were being courteous. And one of our group, who's a Inupiat from the interior of Alaska, broke the ice with them by saying, I was told by my elders that when I'm speaking to my elders, I ask for permission. And there was, and our friend paused, and he looks at them like, you know, so do I have permission? And they kind of jolted up. And Benno went on to share his story with them, tying it into his heritage, family. And then we went around the room sharing our experience, strength, and hope. It was the first experience that week that I felt that they listened to what we had to say. Understand that we're speaking through an interpreter. It was experience, strength, and hope that Don, myself, Tandy, and others in our group had to share. And you could see the connection. It was like when I first came to AA. I'm far too smart for my own good. And I sat there with my arms crossed, and I listened to people tell their story, and there was a ring of truth to it. I could tell that they heard us. Since that trip in 2004, I've made two other trips with our friend Tandy to Providenia and visited some villages up the inside Bering Strait, meeting with the Chukchi who wanted to hear us talk about our problems with alcohol. The connections you feel, the connections you make, you know, they helped keep me sober. We were there to carry the message to them. But they helped keep me sober, just as you're helping keep me sober this afternoon. I often wonder how those people are doing. I've not been back in 2 or 3 or 4 years now. But they have a special place in my heart. And I pray that they are learning how to deal with their alcoholism. I could relate to Carlos. Because when we go over there, Tandy fills up these duffel bags with big books translated in Russian, other books, pamphlets. And we were going through a processing going in through the border patrol. And she gives me, here, you take this duffel bag. Well, what's in here? Books. So when they ask what's in this duffel bag, I think, books. Well, we also had some medical supplies and some writing materials for school kids. But the experience of carrying these materials over, the reading materials of Alcoholics Anonymous, the medical supplies, it's an awesome feeling. My original goal for going over was, oh, this sounds like an adventure. I learned so much more, and I've gotten so much more out of my visits to the Russia Far East that I have so much gratitude for being not only a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, but for being an alcoholic. Thank you.
Thank you, Donnie.